Jesus says, "My heavenly Father continually works, and I also work." Dear sisters and brothers, it is come time to quieten before prayers of intercession, which people have asked for, who are in many different stations in life. Holy Father, we thank you that you have promised to hear our prayers.
vaikeasta psyykkisestä sairaudesta ja sen tuomista ajatuksista, ja että antaisit sisältöä elämään ja palauttaisit uskomisen iloon. Lopuksi ja paremmin myös heitä, jotka kamppailevat fyysisten sairauksien kanssa. Useat seuravieraat pyytävät, että johdattaisit laumasta eksyneet läheiset takaisin valtakuntaasi, ja että epäuskoiset läheiset ja ystävät saisivat parannuksen armon ja tahtoisivat elää Jumalan tahdon mukaan. Sisar siskosen tyttären puolesta, että johdattaisit hänen elämänsä oikeaan suuntaan. Vanhemmat tulevat kiitoksen sinulle, Isä, siitä, että parantsit kehitysvammaisen pojan vaikeasta sairaudesta ja kiittävät yhteiskunnan järjestämästä hyvästä terveydenhuollosta. Hyvä Jumala, rakas taivaallinen Isä, jätämme läheisemme koko eläimme sinulle.
Once our elementary school teacher gave us a task. Draw something related to Good Friday. Nearly all of us drew a hill with three empty crosses. We didn't really understand the events of Golgotha, but we found something important. Actually, the essence of Good Friday. Jesus had fulfilled the task given by the Father. He had always lived according to God's will. He had fulfilled the law, which we couldn't have done. He had died on the cross, from which he had cried, "It is finished." He had been buried in a sepulcher, but on the third day he arose from the dead. The cross was left empty, as was the grave. Death had to yield. Jesus arose a victor. That is why, even today, we are assured the power of sin has been conquered. This was Good Friday, which soon led to the joy of Easter. Jesus' empty cross depicts to us the essence of his work. Do you know which speaker has kept a very short sermon at services? I memorized one of the shortest. It was kept by Heikki Parkajoki in the 1800s, over 100 years ago. He read a long text, a whole chapter from the letter to the Hebrews, and the sermon was, "When the new arrived, the Old Testament ended." The most important meaning of a broad topic was condensed into a short, understandable form. This is the core. When the new arrived, the Old Testament ended. I was asked to keep a presentation on a broad topic, actually the core meaning of faith. The topic I was given, the death and resurrection of Christ, the foundation of the forgiveness of sins. No one needs to memorize my presentation. It suffices if we each think about what faith means to us. What is important? What is at its core? That's why I hope that what a believer in America once said to me would also happen here. When I was in Washington, I tried to serve with my faltering English when I was forced to do it. And at the end of my sermon, a brother told me, "Listen, Maori, the Holy Spirit spoke more to us during your sermon than you knew how to do. Dear friends, let us let the Holy Spirit speak to each one of you." Paul wanted to tell about Jesus' work of redemption as clearly as possible. To his letter to the Romans, he compiled the most important matters. He needed more sentences than Heikki Parkajoki did in his explanation of the Bible. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. If not only so, but we glory in, and not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. This was what Good Friday and Easter were all about. Christ died, he was buried, and he arose, so that all the things Paul described would become true. Faith, righteousness, peace, grace, joy, hope, patience, all of these. These are exactly what we need and have longed for at these summer services and also received here. Did you notice what Paul especially emphasized in his list? One word was repeated three times, hope. A believer has the hope of eternal life. We are on the way to heaven. There is our true home to which we long to go. Together with the apostle, we rejoice in the hope that we will reach the glory of God. But we also have hope with us as we live here on earth. We are like travelers in a strange land. Sometimes we experience distress and we are tested. At times it seems difficult to find our own place, our own task in the world. And sometimes we are occupied by cares of livelihood, studies, finding a spouse, and many other things. God has promised to take care of us in these matters also. According to his word, he gives us a hope and a future. Paul was surely familiar with Isaiah's description of Jesus, who bore our pains and our illnesses, our transgressions and our chastisements, so we would have peace and would be cured by his wounds. That is why those good things are true. What does it mean when the forgiveness of sins in Jesus' name and blood is preached at home, at the summer services, at camps, or elsewhere? This has been spoken of here today. Jesus taught his disciples to do so. God made him judge of all, both the living and the dead. Already the prophets, Isaiah, Micah, Jeremiah, and others, all spoke as Peter later did. Whosoever believes in the Messiah, Jesus, shall receive remission of sins. This sermon is still the most important content, the essence of Jesus' death and resurrection. Years ago, I went to visit a veteran in the hospital whom I barely knew. He recognized me and grabbed my hand firmly. "Oh, Maori, I know Jesus forgives sins, but can I also have my sins forgiven?" I blessed him, and the ensuing conversation got left in my mind. A few days later, the man was able to go to glory. What did he experience? What, in essence, happened when his sins were forgiven? I believe that on his deathbed, he longed for the most central matter of faith and found it. By merit of Christ's death and resurrection, he received grace. What does a child feel when he or she is blessed with the familiar forgiveness of sins before going to sleep? What happens in that moment? A mother and her little daughter were listening as the speaker preached the gospel at services. The speaker preached. The girl looked astonished and began to cry. The mother asked her why, and the girl explained, "I didn't receive anything." The mother said, "Yes, you received something," and blessed the girl, and the services continued. And the girl was satisfied. Here, we are encouraged to believe. You have the right to believe. But have you thought about what the gospel means in your own daily life? How has it been present when you have been at HAPS or elsewhere with other believers? How about when you have met outsiders? Has it sometimes felt awkward to say you're sorry to someone or to ask for a blessing? At times, we wonder how our faith is visible in our own family or when we are with our other dear ones. Correcting matters is a natural part of endeavoring in faith. We are not at summer services just to uphold a tradition or out of habit. Could that be the reason that we are ready to discuss matters of faith, ready to ask for forgiveness, and ready to forgive one another? I would like to give everyone and myself a homework assignment, not as chastisement, but as a learning experience. Could we stop to think about how we could live as believers also in our daily life? And above all, could we stop to ask for forgiveness and to forgive one another, so that a bitter root, hardness, and mercilessness would not grow in our heart? Could we stop and think? In this way, we can encourage one another with the gospel, so that no one needs to be left grieving and think, "I didn't receive anything." Do you recall the most holy place in the temple in the Old Testament? It was so holy that only the high priest of the temple could enter it, and even he only once a year. No one else was allowed to go there. It was inaccessible. The most holy was unreachable. What about us in the New Testament time? When our sins are forgiven, we are touched by God's holiness. The door is open and we can sing. The holy cherubim with wings of white no longer hide the mercy seat from sight, but in our midst the throne of grace we see, and he who thirsts may of the fount drink free. We have a right to trustingly approach our Heavenly Father. Together with the veteran and the little girl and many others, we have then found the main meaning of Good Friday and Easter. Now before us is a new way that leads to life, that finally leads to heaven. All of this is true by the grace of God through Jesus. This way is not always easy. We carry a cross and are a sinful people. But God will protect us in faith so that we will attain salvation. I have sometimes heard said in a sermon, "Heaven answers with peace." The speaker means that God accepts the forgiveness that believers on earth offer. Whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them. This is righteousness. We are acceptable to God, and we are ready for heaven. That's why we have peace in our conscience. And the peace of God keeps our hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Jesus prepared this righteousness for you and me. We received it as our own when all our sins were forgiven. We were brought the gospel, in which the righteousness of God is manifested from faith to faith. We are not ashamed of it. It is such a joyous matter. And that's why the good things Paul lists encourage us to live a secure life: faith, righteousness, peace, grace, joy, hope, and patience. Remember them also after the summer services have ended. I have spoken about the forgiveness of sins, blessing, and the gospel many times. What does gospel mean? Is it one of the four gospels in the New Testament? Or is it a certain portion of the Bible, like the Christmas gospel, or something else? In the Old Testament, gospel was originally news of victory brought home from the battle. Once King David received two different messages of victory, a joyful and sorrowful one. One of the messages contained good news. It was a report of victory over the enemy. We won. The other brought David sad news. The enemy was defeated, but his own son, Absalom, had died. The father was not able to rejoice over the victory. He had lost his own son. By the way, running a marathon has its roots in bringing news of a victory from a battlefield. In the year 490, a battle was fought between the Greeks and the Persians in the fields of Marathon in Greece. When the Greeks won, a soldier named Pheidippides ran a little over 40 kilometers to bring news of the victory to Athens. This news of the victory arrived. For Christians, the gospel is a joyous message of Christ's victory. He defeated the power of sin and the enemy of souls. During confirmation, I also had to memorize. The gospel is the good message about Jesus and salvation which he has prepared. At services and elsewhere, we are told about Jesus and his life, his acts, and teachings. These are all good tidings for us. We are hearing the gospel. We are encouraged by the knowledge that Jesus has helped sinners before and those in difficulties. He spoke of the kingdom of God and called everyone into it. It is good to remember that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. This is the message the disciples went to bring to all the world. They were told to preach the gospel to every creature. How did Heikki Parkajoki say this with just a few words? I believe he agreed with Martin Luther. Namely, Luther said, "For he has given us the gospel, and which is pure forgiveness." This is how Luther explained the petition, "Forgive us our trespasses." According to Luther, we ask God to encourage us trustingly to accept forgiveness and to help us battle against sin. In this battle, the gospel is the power of God for our salvation. Pure forgiveness is its core, the core of the gospel. This has been offered to each of us here again and again. Those who are outside have been called into its security. The gospel, namely, still opens the kingdom of God to all who desire to enter it. But the gospel also gives us much else. A person who believes the gospel is able to know God as a merciful Heavenly Father. The believer understands the meaning of baptism and communion. They are instruments of grace with which God takes care of our faith. Tomorrow there will be communion here. Through the gospel, we can find other gifts. The communion of saints, prayer, the Word of God, confession, and everything else. The gospel opens these all, and only a believer of the gospel is able to rejoice for being able to live in the tabernacle of God. Namely, the gospel is always the gospel of the kingdom of God, which is meant to be preached in all the world. Therefore, even though much is spoken about Jesus and in many ways, the essence of the gospel can only be found amongst the people of God in His kingdom. In the Creed, we read that Jesus was crucified, He died, and He was buried. It always makes me happy at baptisms when even little children know the Creed by heart. The most important matters of our faith are stated in the Creed briefly and clearly. But why did Jesus really have to die? Do you remember from confirmation or elsewhere what baptism signifies? The old Adam in us should, by daily sorrow and repentance, be drowned and die with all sins and evil lusts, and the new man should daily come forth and rise. Who shall live before God in righteousness and purity forever? What does this mean? Also today we have needed the open fountain of Zion, which cleanses us from sin and uncleanness. We are at this fountain whenever we put away matters that burden our conscience. When everything is forgiven us, through the Spirit, we mortify the deeds of the body and we shall live. Paul explained this to the letter to the Romans. This is a difficult text to understand. Our old man is crucified with him in Christ, that the body of Son might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with Him, live a new life. For this grace we praise Him and proclaim His death at communion and everywhere. Dead and buried. Was there no other alternative for atonement? This was the only possibility. Christ had to die for our sins. Sin committed in the flesh required atonement in the flesh. A way had to be opened for man who is separated from God to be reunited with God. Redemption covers the entire life of man from birth to death. That's why the grave is such a secure place of rest for a believer. Luther considers death as a friend of a believer, which comes and says, "Discard your old garment or body. You will receive a new glorified body, a body like the body of Christ, acceptable in heaven's home. When we join in the creed, we also believe that Jesus arose from the dead on the third day. He won over the power of darkness and defeated death. It was replaced by life and imperishableness. His resurrection is a tremendous assurance. Christ is the victor. We cannot comprehend the miracle of Easter morning. It did not only have an impact on those weeks during which Jesus met and encouraged his students. They were given the task of going into all the world to call everyone to repentance and faith. The power of the resurrection was their security also during difficult phases. The work of the gospel is still done in the security of the same power, and it has given those responsible for these summer services strength to carry out their demanding tasks. Death is defeated and victory achieved. That's why the people of Zion can joyously sing. Joy uplifts the congregation as the beams of life are shed. On the cross, the sun is shining, pure and white and bloody red. And by merit of Jesus, who suffered and died and rose from the dead, sins are preached, forgiven in his name and blood. The good message about Jesus and the salvation he prepared. His resurrection happened so that we can also securely believe. And we remember the Catechism's explanation of receiving faith. I believe that I cannot of my own reason or strength believe in Jesus Christ, my Lord, or come to him, but the Holy Ghost has called me through the gospel, enlightened me by his gifts, and sanctified and preserved me in the true faith, even as he calls, gathers, enlightens, and sanctifies the whole Christian church on earth and preserves it in union with Jesus Christ in the true faith. This is what the Holy Spirit does. But this is exactly how the work of Jesus continues on earth, continues in God's congregation. That's why the gospel is our strength, daily and richly. And that's why we have the hope of resurrection and eternal life. But Jesus' death and resurrection were necessary for all of this. This is the core, the very essence of his work of atonement. The three empty crosses that we once drew still remind me of Good Friday. I remember the thief who joined in the ridicule of the mockers. I also remember the other thief who felt his guilt and asked Jesus to remember him in his kingdom. The middle cross was that of the innocent sufferer, the cross of Jesus. From there was heard merciful words to the penitent one. And the Redeemer who suffered and died on the middle cross and arose on the third day is here in the midst of his own. He also comforts us. He has fulfilled all that you can tonight believe, and believe all your sins forgiven in Jesus' name and atoning blood. This grace is true. No one has to say that I did not receive anything. Jesus says, "Fear not. I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore, and have the keys of hell and of death. This was for me, a priest who is already retired. This was a demanding task. Many years working as a priest did not help me. I had to learn this. I had to learn it through my own weakness and sinfulness. And so I ask, can I also, with you, believe my own sins forgiven? I want to believe, and I want to say, that as a 71-year-old, it is a joyful matter when one can be believing with you. This service day is coming to an end, and we will quieten in the evening prayer. Righteous Father, righteous God, dear Heavenly Father, we thank Thee of this summer services day. We thank You for Your presence here in temporal matters and for Your protection and caretaking, but above all for that spiritual blessing which we have been able to own here, and we are able to remain in its comfort. You know our needs and our hopes, our cares, and You know our lives. We want to leave everything in Your good caretaking, and we want to ask, take care of us, our lives, so that in our lives the redemption work of Your Son would bear fruit, and we could rejoice in living in Your kingdom and in the brotherly love. Give us the ability to take care of our own faults and make us ready to forgive another one from our hearts. We leave all our cares, our own and those of our loved ones, those who are not living with us in this Zion, and those who have a heavy cross to bear, and those who have heavy sorrows. Help them. Take care of them. Bring us all to our destination, there where we are longing for, near You in heaven. Bless us and keep us. The Lord make His face shine upon us and be gracious unto us. The Lord lift up His countenance upon us and give us peace. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen.